your friend and jeweler.
Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
Kids, 1-877 cards for kids. Donate your card today.
1-877 cards for kids. KARS cards for kids. 1-877 cards for kids. Donate your car today.
Donate your car today at carsforkids.org. Your car, running or not, can be picked up as soon as the next day. No title, no problem. Call 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS or go online at carsforkids.org to donate today.
1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. KARS cars for kids. 1-877-CARS for kids. Donate your car today.
Now accepting donations of land, homes, buildings, or any kind of real estate.
When people have a craving to explore new and traditional Asian cuisines, they head to P.F. Chang's, where scratch-made dishes come from the 2,000-year-old tradition of wok cooking. P.F. Chang's wanted to explore new possibilities for their website. They turned to AmericanEagle.com. AmericanEagle.com re-architected P.F. Chang's website, integrating multiple third-party systems to create a unified digital experience. The results? Improved page speed and performance, personalized content based on users' location, intuitive online ordering, an increase in organic search visibility, and a 40% increase in new users. For scratch-made Asian cuisine, visit your local PF Chang's or go to pfchangs.com for website design, development, digital marketing, and hosting that produce efficiency, revenue, and results. Visit AmericanEagle.com. PF Chang's and AmericanEagle.com, another example of the best businesses in the world. Turning to the best in the business for websites, go to AmericanEagle.com or call 877-WEB-NOW-1. That's 877-WEB-NOW-1.
Is this house a good price compared to others in the area? Are prices going up or down? If I don't make an offer right this very moment, will I miss my chance? These are just some of the questions a home buyer might ask. And these are the sorts of questions an agent who is a realtor can help answer. Because realtors have the expertise, data, and access to specialty training to help you navigate the process of buying a home. They provide support, guidance, and have your back every step of the way. That's what Realtors do, because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
It takes a lot to prepare for game day as a dedicated fan, and preparing the perfect tailgate meal might be most important of all. That's why Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise is the MVP. Hellmann's Mayonnaise is the secret to bring out the rich and creamy taste to all your game day dishes, from buffalo chicken dip to your favorite sub sandwich and everything in between. So give it a try, and mayo game day be delicious with Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. Shop at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store, and add some extra deliciousness to your game day dishes this football season.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM in HD1 San Francisco on Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube. Powered by First NorCal Credit Union.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill.
I'm happy with Brock Purdy.
Oh, man. Can't a little criticism to Saul. I said I was a little worried about paying him. A little worried. That's all.
I feel that's all. Baked into that is not necessarily about Brock. It's more about Kyle Shanahan. I'd like to explore that.
Shanahan, I was worried. Well, we know how I feel about Shanahan. He's a really good coach, but, you know, that's why yesterday we were talking. I was, you know, everybody's been outraged over the clock management in Minnesota, and I was just like, it's just another day that ends with the letter Y. Clock management is Shanahan. Oh, man. Let's bring in our boy Cam Emmett here on the River Islands Guest Line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. Of course, Cam Emmett, longtime writer for Bay Area News Group here, and he's got a new book. And I'm trying to pull up your Instagram so I can get the name of the book. Cam, maybe you want to jump in here. Name of the book, Cam. Let's plug it right now.
The name of the book is called The Franchise 49ers, so it's pretty simple. And it officially comes out next week. You can still pre-order now, but as of next week, it's going to be in your bookstores. So, a lot of guys have the golden ticket in their hands, so hopefully you guys got your copies yet. If not, I'll get on the publisher and tell them to get them going.
Yeah, forwards by Frank Gore and George Kittle. I can't believe how much you pay them to do that, Cam.
You know what? That was kind of like a cool little project because most books you have one forward, and I go, you know, these two guys just epitomize football and like the 49ers to me of my 25 years covering them. And so, I mean, they did a pro bono work. I mean, it was fun to do. And then, you know, Kittle took some extra time. They're very heartfelt words. And that alone is worth buying the book. So
we should blame you for his hamstring tightness.
You know, I went on a run this morning and I was glad that I didn't get the injury bug. I survived. We don't know how serious Kittle's hamstring is. Same with Tarvarius Ward's hamstring and knee. I saw Tarvarius Ward in the locker room after practice yesterday, and he seemed to be in good spirits. I think it's very precautionary on both their counts, just kind of knowing that they were a little tight and sore when they showed up to work yesterday, so they held him out because Thursday is usually their pretty bigger practice, so to speak. And then we'll find out from Shanahan in about 5 hours what their official designation is. But I would assume that they're going to be questionable, which is better than out in Debo's case and McCaffrey's case.
Could you make an argument that this game's coming at like just the right time for the team? It feels like every year when they face the Rams, it becomes a galvanizing moment in the regular season and propels them forward. I feel like facing McVay and the Rams, I don't know. It just feels like a perfect storm for them to get right.
It could be because you're going into friendly territory. I mean, that stadium it's a spectacle when you're inside there and you see this. About 75% of the fans are wearing red, and it's going to be the Rams' home opener. And the Niners appreciate that, and knowing that it gives them a sense of comfort. I mean, remember like 2 years ago, they go down there, and that's when you kind of really saw the McCaffrey, he had the hat trick, right? He threw a touchdown, caught one, and ran one. And it's like, and then from then on, that offense just took off. And you're going down there this time, and you don't have McCaffrey, you don't have Debo, but the cupboard's not bare. If you don't have Kittle, that doesn't help either. But you got Purdy. To me, and I know there's a lot of talk all week about, is this a Brock Purdy game? Is this Brandon Ayuk's big game? I'm most curious to see how Jordan Mason does. This kid has run for over 100 yards in each two games. And, I mean, we've seen Mason off and on the last few years. But he's running just with authority and finding these lanes that are opening up. And just he looks like a different runner this year than I've ever seen.
No, I'm concerned here as we're talking to Cam Inman on the River Islands guest line. I'm with you. Mason looks like a battering ram. He is playing very good football. And I think he can catch the ball a little bit better if Brock hits him on a couple checkdowns there early in the football game. But who's going to back up Mason? Because I was doing the math here. He's on pace to have 408 carries. He's had 48 carries so far to start the season. He may need a blow here and there. Who's going to be in there?
Right? So you're going to have Brock Purdy running the zone? No, I'm just kidding. I mean, Brock is a lot more mobile, and he's scrambled pretty well. You know, Isaac Garendo is a guy they drafted high, right? Well, fourth-round pick or whatever. And he's kind of more of an upright speedster, but so is Raheem Mostert. I think they need to give him some opportunities in this game because I think the Rams' defense is inviting it. You don't have Aaron Donald to worry about. But for the most part, it's going to be a lot of J.P. Mason. And, you know, Patrick Taylor Jr. is a guy that's he's in the shadows. Like, nobody talks about him. He's like the third-string running back right now. He hasn't been used yet this year, but he's shown a little bit in practices and camp. So, you know, it's the Shanahan scheme. So if these guys get the ball, they know where to go. Bobby Turner's just a top-notch running backs coach. So, and the Niners love to run on the Rams. I mean, that's where they feast on it, and that's why they've had so much success over the years.
How do they stop the run? Because that feels like the only area of strength, you know, at least roster-wise for the Rams heading into this week. And they haven't been able to stop the run, at least going back last week, on the inside or the outside.
I know. I asked Nick Sorensen, the new defensive coordinator, yesterday what he thinks about how his defensive tackles are playing. Because, I mean, we saw Malik Collins flash here and there. But we haven't seen enough out of Hargrave or Elliott or Givens. And, Sorensen's like, oh, they're doing great. And I'm like, oh, well, I don't know if they're doing great. But you know that Fred Warner's great behind them. So how do they stop the run? You unleash Fred Warner and have him go after the ball and punch it out for a third straight game. Fred Warner's playing at such an elite level. That game in Minnesota is one of the best defensive performances I've seen. Just the timing of everything and just the force and violence that he played with to try to keep that team in the game. So as long as Fred Warner's on that field, that defense is going to be like have an edge on the Rams, especially if the Rams, their line is all jumbled. Their running backs are not running well through two games. And so I think that's fine, but I think you're right. I mean, it's like if Kupp and Nacua are out, well, there goes your top two wide receiver options. Then again, you got Matthew Stafford back there. And Stafford's a guy going, well, I'll show you how good of a quarterback I am. I'm going to throw it all over the yard and test every cornerback out here still.
Yeah, that's interesting. Early down situations. Leonard Floyd, as you talk about Fred Warner having a great game against Minnesota, I thought he played at a Hall of Fame level. You're right, Cam. Yep. It was unbelievable. Leonard Floyd was invisible. And they took advantage of him in a run game, in the pass game, whatever it was. Either Gross Matos, do you think the Niners would be interested in maybe giving him some early down opportunities, maybe against the run in obvious run situations?
Yeah, but you know what? Go back to a week ago, and Leonard Floyd was getting praised for how great he did in the opener. So it's like we can't be total prisoners of the moment and just kind of realize, all right, this guy is a longtime vet. He is healthy. He knows how to play, and he's going against the Rams. You know, he played for the Rams. He might have a little extra juice in him. So, no, I mean, this is – you brought Leonard Floyd in to be the great compliment to Bosa, and I didn't like what I saw in the injury report yesterday after practice when Nick Bosa showed up with a rib injury and was limited. And, we saw him in the game go down late in the third quarter, but I thought it was a leg issue. Anytime Bosa's on the injury report, it's concerning. I watched him at practice yesterday. He was moving around fine. He was, like, pantomiming some pass rushing drills with Leonard Floyd off to the side. But he wasn't totally fully engaged in one of the drills they were doing. So I think for sure Bosa plays, but it's just you don't want him banged up this early in the season.
You referenced Garendo earlier, but who's a guy that you just think they need to get on the field on either side of the ball just to kind of just change things up?
I think the temptation a lot of people are saying is let's see Jacob Cowing in that speed, right? He's the punt returner. He hasn't really been unleashed on offense. Without Debo out there, I could imagine Cowing's going to get some jet sweeps or end arounds and see how he runs with the ball. But don't forget about Chris Conley and Juwan Jennings, because in the Super Bowl, these two guys are studs. And without Debo or McCaffrey out there, they're going to need guys to step up, and everybody's going to be looking at Ayuk. The Rams should be doubling Ayuk. But Conley and Jennings have Brock Purdy's trust and comfort. And Brock said something yesterday when he was talking about Eric Saubert, the backup tight end, because he threw two back-to-back completions to Saubert in a two-minute drill in Minnesota. And he said, Saubert's been in the league for a long time. This is his eighth year. So he has experience in that, Brock said. It gives him a comfort level. And that, to me, tells me, okay, in this time, he wants to go to guys he knows, and he knows Juwan Jennings and Conley pretty well from the last couple of years, so I could see them going to getting the ball more than a Cowing.
All right, you brought up Cowing and the punt return thing. All right.
Yeah.
You've been covered, you said, 25 years on this team, so I'll go way back in time. So probably one of the first returners that I actually thought was decent that they've had since then, like Vinny Sutherland, right? Way off,
going way back.
Yeah. What is it? Now, I know Ted Ginn Jr. had moments. Fred Otis Amy had moments. Okay, stingers up. But, like, what is it about the Niners' punt and kick return that in these crucial moments, and Bonte gets mad at me, but I'm like, just catch it, just catch it.
Mad.
Just catch
I don't
it.
Get mad.
I'm like,
I, don't
it's, get mad. I have PTSD from punt and kick returns.
You.
Am I alone?
You didn't even mention Kyle Williams. You didn't mention Jared Hayne. That's what I was worried about with Cowing, because Jared Hayne comes over from Australia and they give him the punt return job under Tom Sula at the first Monday night game. I think it was against Green Bay, and he fumbles under the lights. It's like, all right, that dude's done. So when Jacob Cowing fumbles in Minnesota, right? I'm like, that's not a great sign. All right, welcome to the league, rookie. So in the locker room, it's pretty solemn and quiet. And I see Jacob Cowing getting dressed, and I'm like, I'm just going to test this rookie. I want to see how accountable he is. So I go up and ask him to describe what actually happened. And he's a great communicator. And second of all, he starts describing it, going, look, I saw that the defender was closing in on me pretty fast. I got my hand up to signal fair catch a little late. It threw me off balance, and that's, that's how the ball bounced out. And he's like, but that won't happen again. I'm going to get better. And he had exactly the right temperament, the right confidence, was not shaken. And I said, well, this is a pretty tough environment. I mean, this is one of the NFL's greatest arenas to be playing in. Was that challenging? He goes, absolutely not. This is what I want to be in. This is awesome. So just those two answers just showed me accountability. accountability and the desire for growth, and that's what you want to see out of a rookie. So Shanahan was asked about him on Wednesday, and he's like, look, it was one muff return. Didn't sound like he's abandoning ship and going to put in Trent Taylor instead. So it sounds like they give Callahan another chance because, hey, this is why they drafted him. They want him to be a punt returner and a speed threat on offense. So you're not going to ditch him on a muff punt that was actually recovered by your own team. So I thought it was like a stand-up moment. I saw him yesterday in the locker room. I just swung by. I said, hey, thanks for talking to me. That was a pro moment. Good work.
Cam, before we let you go, you interact with a lot of 49er fans on Instagram, 49ers.cam on IG. Your account's booming. I'm kind of jealous of it. Who needs a bigger game in terms of for the fan psyche? Is it Brandon Ayuk or is it Brock Purdy?
I said Jordan Mason. I don't get to say that. All right.
The fans, not you, Cam. Fans. You're a writer. You're a journalist. You're objective, Cam.
No, hey,
us.
Listen, just like my book, The Franchise 49ers, it starts with the quarterbacks. Everything about this franchise is about the quarterbacks. The quarterback's going to touch the ball every time. Ayuk's not touching the ball every time. If he gets 8 catches, it's like, holy cow. If he gets 3, it's like, oh, okay, same old. But if those 3 catches are touchdowns, boom. And that's going to be dependent on Brock Purdy throwing him the ball. So, a lot of people are just riding Brock right now. And you got to go back to last season. This kid threw for a passing record in 49ers history of 4,280 yards, and he sat out the last game. And he did this on a repaired elbow. And then, you know, people go, well, what's he going to do in, you know, comeback moments? Well, he led him to 2 comeback playoff wins, if I'm not mistaken. So that's why the Niners are not shaken whatsoever in Brock. And that's why they're like, have a lot of confidence that they may be down a couple of guys going into the Rams game, but you got your quarterback and your quarterback knows how to run this offense. It really is dependent on if the other guys know how to run their jobs on the offense. And you have the same starting offensive line. And you just got to make sure that some of these guys that are going to be plugged in don't mess it up.
In one of those comebacks, the NFC Championship game, he ran for, I don't know, 50 or 55 yards or whatever. I'd like to, I'm not saying design runs, but when the opportunities present itself, just take the 8 yards and slide. He did it a couple times in the game the other day. I think that his legs can be a big asset for him.
And going into the offseason, one of the things he talked about was he wanted to work on his mobility. And that obviously is going to help when you're getting sacked 6 times in a game. You need to get out of the pocket if the line's still working through some things. But I think he knows that. So he knows he's going to have to take it upon himself and be a little bit more mobile and run when lanes are given to him. And without having to run away from Aaron Donald, like past 49er Rams games with their 49er quarterbacks, it should be more wide open. And I'm just going to see how Shanahan schemes it, whether he's just going to just play a little bully ball and send Mason up the middle all day.
Niners win this Sunday, Cam?
Niners going to win 27-20.
Ooh, close game. Close game. What's the spread here? What's the spread?
It doesn't matter. Just win.
I think the spread is around 6 or 7, but I don't. I just
6.5. Oh, they cover by a hook. Get your mic on. Nobody can hear you, Shasky. They're favored by 6.5.
There you go.
All right, Cam. Good stuff as always, man. We appreciate it. The franchise coming out in stores at a bookstore near you. Cam M and Bay Area News Group here on the River Islands guest line. I know we all just want them to win. Shasky, I heard you despite the microphone off. We all just want them to win.
I'm trying not to interrupt. That's why I keep turning it off, because it doesn't sound good for the radio broadcast. Because you know what happens is you talk and I go, and it doesn't sound good. So I
turn it off like this.
And then I turn it back on so that you don't hear the... You know,
it bothers me.
It bothers me. It does.
I'm trying to be more professional.
Well,
I want to prove that I'm worth $60 million a year too.
Oh man, this is I can't wait for this game. I'm really looking forward to this game for so many reasons. We're gonna get the caller of the week in just a second. That was Cam, man. A lot there about the 49ers. He says Jordan Mason. He can't wait to see him. I think we know what we're gonna get from Jordan Mason. But what happens if he needs a blow? Who's going to be that backup running back? Because, I mean, hashtag pause, but no Debo, no CMC. They call somebody up for the practice squad. Keyshawn Vaughn. Is it going to be Corindo? Is it going to be Patrick Taylor Jr.? I want to see who's going to back up Jordan Mason. Because you got to think, without Debo, and if Kittle, especially if Kittle doesn't play, the Rams are probably going to, and defensive coordinator Shuler's probably going to say, we're doing everything we can to stop the run. And they're probably going to dare Brock Purdy to beat them, which is, again, I'm not saying it's an indictment on Brock, but if I'm just thinking from the Rams' point of view. I'm going into this game, and I know they're out all these guys. I'm telling them not to stop the run. And I'm going to say, hey, 13, beat us. Is that fair?
If you're the Rams?
Yeah,
I think that's what a lot of people are going to try to do. So there's no doubt about that. But they need to get back to running the ball because that opens up the play action for them. And when they turn their back to the defense, it feels like they're their most dynamic as a downfield threat and pass. But I do want to get back into what Patrick Peterson said. If we can replay the sound about, you know, just their downfield passing game, because to me, I know we keep talking about the quarterback. I think it comes back to the coach. And I think that all of the things we're saying about the quarterback, I think what we're really doing is we're saying, like, can Shanahan evolve?
Do you believe if Shanahan did evolve, Purdy is capable of being successful with the downfield passing attack? Does he have the arm strength to consistently hit throws outside the numbers?
I mean, I feel like arm strength is kind of overrated just in general in the league. I think a catchable ball, anticipation, accuracy are way more important than just raw arm strength. And I'm a sucker for the physical gifts. I always admit that. Like,
when you're on the opposite hash, though. You got to throw that out route.
I mean, I think that...
Aaron Rodgers last night was... Sorry to cut you off. Rodgers threw so much velocity last night. I was like, wow.
Greatest talents to ever play the game.
Exactly.
You know, but... I don't know. I've seen a lot of guys with not the greatest of arms win a lot of games, you know? So you just got to do what you need to do to throw the ball to guys that are open. And I don't know. I think he can be. And we're not asking him to throw 40-yard lasers, you know, 17 times a game. We're talking about a couple of throws. I think it's all, as much as it is about Purdy, I think more it's about, like, Shanahan and his evolution as a coach. You can't run the same things for 30 years. You just can't. I don't think Andy Reid's the same guy he was 10 years ago or 20 years ago. And so you got to evolve.
Let's hear from Patrick Peterson on Shanahan's passing game.
His offense is more compact inside the numbers to where he's running the football, you know, linemen, you know, with different movements with the offensive linemen. So he's more dedicated to the run game, far as now when he's running the football, he's sucking those. Getting those linebackers' eyes stuck in the backfield, those defensive back eyes stuck in the backfield, to where now he can hit those intermediate passes behind the linebackers. And that's what kind of makes his passing game go, because he's big on the running game. You know what I mean? So, and look at all the quarterbacks that he had. He really never had a quarterback that had a big arm to throw the ball outside the numbers. He always getting quarterbacks that's real good with those intermediate passes, because that's what makes his offense run. And so, the passing.
I thought that was you in real time. It was very interesting. Very interesting how we broke that down, echoing Jay Gruden's sentiments from the other day. RJ Fairfield, real quick before we get to break, because I do want to get an elaborated explanation from that and get your thoughts on that, Shasky. Let's get RJ Fairfield real quick before we get to caller of the week.
Hey, Shasky, I trusted you last week, man. I called in last week.
RJ, call us back. Call us back, RJ. Call us back.
He's the most efficient flusher we have in the entire Rolodex.
Call us back, RJ.
I mean, he's like the Cal Ripken of flushes.
Floyd Water, Plumbing and Drain at floydwater.net. Contact them, please. Or just
call
us
back.
We need RJ to come like with a piece of paper that says like 97, like he's Wilt Chamberlain, and the amount of times he's been flushed.
What did he trust you with last week?
Well, we both thought that, you know, they were going to roll Minnesota, and we were both wrong.
Yeah. Seeing ghosts.
I was seeing ghosts.
You know, we didn't talk about it. We've avoided this. Sam Darnold was a better quarterback on the field. I can't. I believe that.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold. And trust me, I have the same disdain for Sam Darnold as you do. Damn, that was a pretty deep ball he threw. Miguel in San Antonio. Miguel, what's happening?
Yo, Bonte, Shasky, what's up, guys?
What's up, Miguel?
Hey,
San Antonio,
hey,
baby.
Hey, man. Hey, repping, man. I'm from East Palo Alto, but, you know, I've been living out here for a while. But, hey, my Niners, man, I just want to bring something up. I'm getting a little, I don't know how to feel about this, but 2019, we had that deep, deep, you know, Super Bowl run. Next season, everyone's hurt. This last, you know, we had another deep Super Bowl run just now, and now it seems like before the season started, you know, Greenlaw, Feliciano's out, like, you name it. Just guys just on the injury report, you know, Bosa, Ward, everybody's getting that injury bug. I don't know if it's that deep run again or if it's just bad luck. But now with Brock, pretty much he was the new guy. He came in. He had everybody available. Now he's going to enter a different phase. I think in these next four games, you know, three division games, he's going to have to just hook up with who he's got, prove it. You know, it's going to be his contract year. You know, it's I'm a big believer in him, but he's going to have an opportunity now to go out there, prove it, use his weapons. Yeah. And for me being out here in Texas, you know, week 7-8, we gotta rest our guys. The Cowboys, the Chiefs, those are some of the biggest games this season for me. Just we just gotta get our team right, get everybody ready to go.
All right, Miguel, have a good one. We'll do Caller of the Week on the other side. Let's break real quick. React to Patrick Peterson. That's all coming up. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises.
You know, now we got Luka Okuda.
All right. Hey, check this out. This is San Leandro Mo, and you're listening to 95.7 The Game, The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shaq.
San Leandro Mo. Roasters, what is happening? We're going to do Caller of the Week in just a second. The most wanted tickets in the Bay Area are here. It's Hip Hop Made in the Bay. Starring Too Short, Ja Rule, Bone Thugs, DJ Quick, Friday, November 1st at the SAP Center. It's going to be going down, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. Real quick, let me see if the Warriors have a game November 1st. Because we missed last year. The Warriors, actually, it was a Friday night.
All
Warriors
Saints
had a
Day.
Game. Oh, well, is it All Saints Day?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, maybe I'll celebrate.
Unfortunately, the death of Mac Dre as well.
Ah. So is that going to keep you away?
No, it's All Saints Day.
I thought it was going to like hold you back. Like, hey, you're going to stop. Not go to a concert because it's All Saints Day.
No.
Is that a national holiday?
All Saints Day?
Yeah, I don't know. There's no Warrior game that day. No Warrior game. Friday night, November 1st. Maybe we'll go down to the SAP Center. Hey.
I'll probably be napping.
No, you're not going to do that?
I might be napping.
You don't want to see Too Short Ja Rule?
Where is Ja?
Bone Thugs and DJ Quick?
Where is Ja?
It's the best.
Tickets are selling fast.
It really is the best.
Tickets are selling fast. Get yours now at Ticketmaster.com. Boy, the YouTube chat is on a heater today.
Why?
Oh, it's just on a heater. It is on a heater. It is on a heater. I love football season. We got call of the week. We'll respond to Patrick Pete. We got a couple calls here. I do want to get RJ to call back because he was taking shots at me last week, so I really want to hear from him. Call of the week. Call of the week. Caller of the week. This week's caller is JC in Sacramento, who went in on Kyle Shanahan. JC in Sac, what's happening?
This needs to fall at the feet of the head coach. I don't want to hear about anything else other than this falling at the feet of the head coach. It goes back to time management, situational football, not taking the 3 points, going forward on fourth down. I only say take the 3 points because at that point you are struggling to score. Let your offense see the fruits of their labors. Let them get that pressure off their back so they can score points, and now you can call a different game. It's not because C-Mac wasn't there, because C-Mac was there last year. He fumbled last year. This was the same result last year. Jordan Mason had a better game this year than C-Mac did last year. Don't mention Ayuk to me. He had the same game last year, 3-57. This year he had 3-46. So it wasn't on that. This is on the head coach not knowing how to properly use his line protections and pick up the blitz.
That was JC. Caller of the week. Caller to the Morning Roast. And if your call is better than the rest, you could be named Caller of the Week too. Shanahan getting a lot of heat. Boy, you think about this market now. Comes to the Warriors, Steve Kerr, and Kyle Shanahan. Who gets people triggered more? Kyle Shanahan or Steve Kerr? It's not we can have a conversation later, but it's just
Shanahan.
Steve Kerr, Shanahan?
It's Shanahan.
You sure it's Shanahan?
Well, because Shanahan has the elusive thing that Steve Kerr has four of.
Right.
So I think that the most normal thinking, like, okay, so Sam and I had this conversation earlier in the week. And I can't say enough. Like, we always just, why would you want to fire Shanahan? No one is saying we're firing Shanahan. But the only way to hold him accountable is to criticize him as a fan. No one's saying run him out of town. It's just like, we don't agree with this. And because you're so good at what you do, we expect you to know some of your own limitations and flaws. Kerr the same thing. I think we hold Kerr to a higher standard because we think he's really good. Like if he was, for example, Bob Melvin. I say 888-97 Bob Melvin. What do people like? I don't care. He's not even close to good enough. The team is not even close to good enough to evoke an emotion, right? Like we critique heavily the ones that we actually think are good. Or if they just play quarterback, period.
Steve Kerr was getting blasted for the Olympic Games. I couldn't believe it. Coaching in the Olympics, he was getting blasted. Like, I don't know.
Mike D'Antoni would get blasted too, coaching the Olympics.
Yeah, but Steve Kerr is, I think it's on another level with Steve Kerr. Maybe because I'm in it and I see Warriors Twitter. I see a lot of it, but boy.
When I go to you go to way more games than me. But when I go to Warrior games, I don't like waiting in line as I'm coming through the gates. Like, huh, this Steve Kerr, what a bum. You know what I mean? Like nobody talks like that. And the same thing with Shanahan. Now at times during the game, when you're watching it, you're like, run, throw, you know, challenge. Like people will scream those things when you go to the game. But that's more the nature of football.
Well, there's people who scream at Chase Center. I don't like this rotation, Steve. I don't like this lineup. Why are we playing this guy?
Yeah, but
why'd you take him out?
That's a far cry from
right.
You need to go. I mean, that's called
critiquing. But I'm just saying, yeah, it is critiquing, but they both get heat. It's basically what I'm making a point. It's like Steve Kerr's won 4 championships, and the heat he gets, you'd think he won 20 games a season.
But it's the only way people can hold him accountable is to critique him, right? That's literally, because we know he's not going anywhere. We don't want him to go anywhere. I think 95 or more percent, and this is just an uneducated, throw of the dart, want him to be the coach as long as he can. Now, but the point, like, eventually you got to win one. I don't know when that point is, but it's like the only way to hold them accountable is to air your grievances.
Man, in 2021, people were saying Shanahan should fire himself.
Well, that...
I mean, like, I know it's ridiculous, but to say that there's not people who think like that, there's not people who... I get the criticism aspect of it, but I'm just... It's fascinating to me that these guys have been wildly successful and they get ridiculed if they're winning 5 games a season.
Jesus had haters, Monte.
No, I hear that. But no, the heat is on. Like, Shanahan literally gets blamed for a Super Bowl loss in which he was the offensive coordinator for in a game in which his offense helped the team get a 28-3 lead. 28-3 lead, and he still gets to play. So it's just a little weird to me, that's all.
Bill Belichick had 4 titles at that point. Maybe it was 3, I think, at that point. When he lost both those times to the New York Giants, he was crushed. Crushed. You let Eli Manning, you let them beat you?
Brady, too. I mean,
so, I don't know. I think this goes with the territory. I think this is just a part of it.
Yeah, it is. Also, the Santos able to go put on YouTube. Bate, you've been successful. You get criticism. You damn right I do.
Shot, you talking to me.
We damn right. It comes off. I guess anybody can catch a stray.
You can't, in America, like as we're in an election, you can't get Americans to agree on anything.
No, you can't.
Look at your own family, right? Your own family. You know, I mean, come on.
David
Everybody's
Frisno.
Everybody's family's crazy.
David Frisno, what's happening, man? You're on the roast.
Good morning, fellas. Good morning. Good morning.
What's up, Dave?
Hey, Mr. Shasky, you're going to say it's been successful, right? This regime, it's been successful?
I would say, yeah, they've won 8 playoff games, and I know they haven't won the ultimate one, but yeah, I'd say they're the third most successful, at minimum, third or fourth most successful team in the last 5 years, and that's a pretty basic statement, I think.
Okay, that's fair. You know, what I think is going on here, and this is just my opinion, I think we look at this regime and it's better than Tom Sula and Chip Kelly, so we're trying to hold on to that. We know what them dog days look like, so yeah, right now this is successful for me. I've been a Niner fan since Candlestick, and this wouldn't fly back in those days, but you know, we are what we got, and like you just said, nobody's saying fire Shanahan. We just want some accountability. But there were some great points made this morning, and I think people have been saying this for years. And like people like me or even Patrick Peterson bringing up, was like, how dare you challenge the great Kyle Shanahan and look at all the NFC championships and Super Bowls, where if you really look at it, like Bonte said, yeah, we've gotten there, but when we get there, we get exposed. There's no counter-react to another team figuring out our predictable offense, you know, and those are fair points, you know, and I just think people need to sit back And you're going to put Shanahan on this pedestal. He's the second best coach. He's a genius. Well, okay, now we got to poke holes, because if you're going to be on that pedestal, now everybody can see you. Now let's see what's really he about, you know. And I'm not saying fire him, but he needs to show more leadership, a better ability to adapt, you know. And like I said, you guys made some great points today.
I'm looking at your call here. It says, don't think we have been successful under Shanahan. Now, I don't think you mean that, but what would lead you to believe that they haven't been successful under Shanahan because of what happened in the 90s and 80s under Eddie D and Bill Walsh and Seifert and all those guys?
No, I honestly feel like we've took advantage of a kind of underwhelmed NFC. You know, I think all the elite teams are in the AFC, so we've been the dominant team in the NFC, and that equated to all the wins and the 12, 13 wins. But I feel like we play the Ravens, we play the Bengals, we play the Chiefs, we play the Bills. It's like a boat race, you know what I'm saying? So against those elite teams, we haven't been that good. You know, I know it was close against Kansas City this Super Bowl, but I feel like against the elite teams, we haven't been that good. So, yeah, we've beaten the Rams, we've beaten the Eagles, we've beaten the Cowboys. You know, we've beaten the up-and-coming Lions last year, but teams are getting better. You know, and I feel like it's the same offense since Shanahan took over.
All right, Dave. That's his point. That's his point. I don't think Shasky agrees. I'm looking at his face right now. He's got a blank stare.
I mean, yeah, the Chiefs have our number. Like, I have no rebuttal because it's factually correct. They haven't won the ultimate one. I'm just a big believer in it's really hard to win it all, and knocking on the door year after year after year, there's something to be said for that. No, it's not the ultimate prize. I do think part of the journey has been special. They haven't completed the mission. I know that negates some stuff, but for me, it doesn't negate everything. I want them to win the ultimate prize, but I'm not going to start like, oh my God, what an unmitigated disaster. Like, there's a combination of philosophical things that have caught up to them, ball not bouncing their way, them not making the most of opportunities. One of the greatest players of all time with one of the great coaches of all time having their run simultaneously while you're really good. Like, there's a lot of stuff that's going on right now, and it just sucks that we feel very snake bitten by them particular. Because if you win one of the two, like, the whole thing gets viewed so different.
Yeah, the conversation is completely different. And I think what I don't want to happen is I want Kyle to win one bad with the 49ers. I want him to win one bad. And if he wins it with Brock Purdy, even greater, because that would be one of the greatest stories in North American sports history to have the last pick of an NFL draft win a Super Bowl. That would be unbelievable. But if they don't win, you know what I'm going to come back to during the Shanahan era? What I'm going to come back to is that he couldn't figure out the quarterback position. He couldn't set himself on the quarterback position, because the first 5 years of his tenure, it felt like we were playing quarterback roulette. Do you love Jimmy? Do you not love Jimmy? Do you like Jimmy? Do you not like Jimmy? Okay, I'm going to trade for Trey, but I don't think he's ready, so I'm not going to go. You know, it's just, I think that is looming here. That's why I want Purdy to be successful. I want Purdy to end up making $60 million. I want to have a quarterback. Like, this past offseason was refreshing in a way that we didn't have to talk about the quarterback. We knew who the quarterback was.
Do you think they lost this last Super Bowl? This isn't even a fair question, but like, you think they lost it because of quarterback play?
There was a combination of things. But I go back to what you said right after Allegiant Stadium and watching the game back. When you said the difference was when their quarterback had to make a great play, he did. Ours didn't. And I go back to Super Bowl.
But his coach also because of the situation in the game, they went for it on 4th-and-2. We kicked the field goal on 4th-and-3.
Yeah, there's a combination of things. But when the cover zero blitz on 3rd-and-5 and Shanahan before the play is like, we're going to have McCaffrey here. We're going to have McCaffrey. And Purdy's looking the other way and he throws right into the blitz. And Purdy in the offseason said, boy, I misread that. I should have had, you know. So I just hope that they win one, because if they don't win one, the question I'm going to have is, boy, we just couldn't figure out the quarterback spot. The quarterback spot was just all over the place here. And now we got a decision to make after the season, which we're not there yet. We got the Rams week 3, SoFi Stadium, and we got to see if they win that game, which I do truly believe that. But I'm going to go back to, boy, just doesn't feel like we figured out the quarterback spot. I think that's going to be looming large when it's all said and done, if Kyle doesn't win. If he doesn't
totally
win.
Fair. What if I read you these numbers? 85% quarterback rating, 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns, 5 interceptions in 4 Super Bowl games. Do you know who that is?
Patrick Mahomes.
He threw for 150 yards in the slot. No, granted, he made the plays when they needed him to make the plays, right? But, like, I don't know.
That's why I push back on saying we didn't lose to Mahomes. Our offense that was scoring 30 points a game let us down. They had an opportunity to blow that game away in the first half.
Well, you need both sides of the ball. You need all three phases to win one, right?
There's no doubt.
Muffed a punt. They missed an extra point. You know, the defense had certain specific leakages late, right, end of the game, end of overtime. The offensive line collapsed. Like, is it Purdy's fault?
You say Mahomes threw for 150 in that last Super Bowl?
Yeah, so the up until the end.
Oh, because he ended up throwing for 333.
Until the final two drives.
33, 34, 46. But no, I agree that the defense did all they could do to shut down the Chiefs in the first half. That's where that game needed to be separated. And didn't happen.
But that's not on Purdy.
It's not all on Purdy. I'm not blaming.
The quarterback let them down. I think they've made the most of their quarterback situation. How many coaches are taking Jimmy G to the Super Bowl? He's the one that built the roster and Kyle Shanahan. I don't know. I think they've been way more successful just because they haven't won at all. It sucks. I hate hearing it too. I want them to win one to validate everything. You got to win one. But like, Doug Peterson has a Super Bowl, and I'm not taking Doug Peterson at any point over Kyle Shanahan.
Let's go to Samita. Oh, let's go to Samita down to Los Gatos. Long time no talk. What's up, Samita?
Hey guys. Yeah, it's been a while. Happy Friday. I just was thinking about a few weeks ago. I think Bonte, you were on leave or something, and Chasky had like a 30-second poll where he was asking callers, like, where do you think, how many wins do you think the Niners are going to have this season? And my recollection of hearing those calls was a lot of people came down in that 9, 10, maybe 11 wins this season for the Niners. And I think that's what we're seeing. I think that's exactly how the season is going to play out. We got injuries. We got issues. The Vikings looked really good. The Jets, you know, that was a great win, but, you know, it's the Jets. So I think collective wisdom was kind of on point before the season started, and I think that's what we're seeing playing out.
That's very interesting. I remember that show. Me and Spadoni were doing that, and we were doing like rat-a-tat-tat, and a lot of people, and it was also right before the Aiyuk stuff, I believe, and there's the trend stuff. A lot of people like 9-10 wins, you know, but they'll be better toward the end of the year. A lot of people felt that way.
Yeah. All right. They got a stacked roster. Let's go to Don and Conker, what's happening? Then we got the anchor, we got TC, we got Bob, we got everybody. We'll get to everybody here on the Football Friday. Don, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. All you sports fans out there in 49er territory. Good to hear your voices.
Good to hear yours.
Hey, you know what? Hey, that sounds good. Hey, you know what? Tomorrow, Purdy runs for touchdown, passes for two. I predict that Mason will get two touchdowns, maybe one out of the backfield. It'll be a rout. We'll play some defense. Shohei Ohtani, he gets a shout-out. I'm going to my A's game tonight to watch the Yankees for the last time at Oakland Coliseum. Mm. Oh, my God.
Yanks
and then my Cal Bears. What about my Cal Bears? I'm going to give you a stat. If we win the next three games, come on, Bears, we will be 6-0 for the first time since 1950. How do you like that, Mr. Bonte?
I love that, Don. I love those nuggets. That's a good nugget right there. That's a really good nugget. Did you know? Yesterday's Jets-Patriots game. I got another little nugget for you. Did you know that was the first Jets-Patriots game without Bill Belichick on the sideline since 1995?
No, I didn't know that. Wow. That is insane.
He was on the sideline, obviously, with the Jets and Bill Parcells, DC, or whatnot. That was the first time the Jets and Patriots played a football game without Bill Belichick on the sideline since 1995. That's crazy. You want to talk about longevity, man. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Let's get Dacre in here. Dacre, what's happening?
Morning, gentlemen. Happy Friday.
I like when somebody calls me Mr. Fonte. I'm not going to lie. That's kind of cool. Go ahead, Dacre.
Yo, let's all, like, regather here. I believe Jimmy was known as a slow starter, right? So, you know, people need to pump their brakes a little bit because, Joe, you just pointed it out. The reality is, I don't care if you have Montana, any Hall of Fame quarterback back there. If they don't have a line giving him the time, that's like asking a plane to take off without a runway. It's not happening. So the reality is you also have receivers not getting separation, right? So there's a lot of issues we got to clean up, but I believe the Niners are kind of slow starters. And if you really look at it, I think Shanahan's overachieved. We barely have run to the right side of the line. The last couple of games we actually have, that's actually showing me the right side's actually getting better. So if we gel, I like us to start using twin back formations because if McCaffrey comes back and we have Mason, who's definitely a weapon, we got to implement them both. You don't want one just collecting dust. And obviously McCaffrey can go out in the slot and you can read what the defense is doing with that motion. So I think we're in a great position as long as we stay healthy and the line grows. But I think people have to realize, look at our running game. We barely run to the right side, and we still were running. We are an elite team. So I hope the fans, you know, get a little more realistic.
All right, Danker. Good call. Good call. TC, Sacramento. TC, what's happening?
Hey, Joe. What's up, man? Top of the morning.
What's up with my bro?
Hey, what's up, bro? Hey, look, y'all know I'm calling in. I got to agree with the caller, Dave, on a little bit of Danker, man. Like, nothing against you guys, bro, but, like, we can't scoff at the fans, right, that don't approve of really Kyle Shanahan or kind of, like, over him, right? Like, every time we get ready to talk about him, like, man, this dude's really not it. We're not really winning it. You know what I mean? He's overachieving. Everybody, media, Niner media, everybody wants to come down those fans' line, like, oh, you guys don't know what you're talking about, Kyle. Like, no, bro, this dude's a high-level loser, bro. Like, this is it, Monte.
High-level loser?
Let him go.
High-level loser?
Bro, am I lying, Joe?
Yeah. High-level loser? He's won eight playoff games. If he goes on another run right now, he might pass this year. Let's say they win two. Like, I believe he's going to cut right next to Bill Walsh in terms of playoff wins in a 49er, you know, as a 49er head coach. Like, come on. Come on.
What's the end game? You have to win the Super Bowl, right? So, Joe, that's a high-level loser.
Was Marv Levy
right
a high-level loser?
Yes.
Okay.
What about Brock? Who's the game bigger for?
A high level. So what does that make Mike McCarthy? Does that make him a low-level winner?
He's got a Super Bowl win.
I'm not going to sugarcoat
it.
Like, what does that make him?
Sit here and do a sugarcoat.
They're 1-4 in the playoffs the last, I think, whatever, 2 or 3 years.
This is fascinating,
like,
man.
What does that make him? No, I'm dead serious. What does that make Mike McCarthy? A low-level winner?
How do you like that, Mr. Bonte?
I'm serious. Come on. A high-level loser.
Oh, my God.
Well, then you know what? I guess that I love high-level losing.
Oh, man.
I mean, what does that even mean? Come on.
The way that was delivered. Can you isolate? Oh, my God. I'm getting a headache here.
Who was a high-level loser? Jeff Fisher. You know what I mean? Who was like 8-8 every
my
year?
My stomach's starting to hurt, man. Oh, my gosh.
Like, by definition, you can't be 8-4 in the playoffs and be a loser.
Could you just bear with me here?
But all I'm saying is be reasonable.
Listen, I'm going to use a prayer this week. I'm going to have to talk to God this weekend. Dear God, please, pretty please, just make sure the 49ers have one more point than the LA Rams this Sunday.
I told you, this is not Monday, how God operates. He does not sit here and he's like, let me quiet everything out. Bonte Hill is clasping his hands. He needs his help.
He does.
But God also needs him to cover the spread.
No, he
works
does.
In mysterious ways, guys.
No, he does work in mysterious ways. And he knows, Mr. Bonte, to do this show on Monday,
I'm sorry,
we
Father
need
Patrick.
A victory.
God, oh, my God.
Father God, baby Jesus, high-level Jesus, low-level Jesus, whatever Jesus, we need a freaking win. Bad.
Can I ask
because
you,
Monday coming in, if they lose this game, coming in on Monday, it's going to be a disaster, okay? There will be more car accidents in the Bay Area.
What is going on here?
Than any day in the history of the Bay Area. There will be. Because it will be a wreck from 6 to 10.
Was Jerry Sloan a high-level loser? No, come on. Jerry Sloan was a great coach. Come on. He didn't have
George. Him, George Carl, Don Nelson.
Well, George Carl is a step below Jerry Sloan.
Well, he took a team to the finals, did he not? Did George Carl? Hold on. Did George Carl not take a team to the finals as a head coach?
Jerry Sloan did it back to back.
Right, and he lost both times, just like George Carl and Kyle Shanahan. They're high level losers.
Oh, my God.
It's okay.
So was Andy. Let me ask you this then. So was Andy Reid a high level loser, and then all of a sudden, God, like, bowed down, kneel before me, I will bestow upon low-level winner guy now.
Yes.
And, like, he was knighted into the low-level winner circle?
I like that. He was knighted, and now he got to be a winner. That's what happens. When you win, you get knighted, you get taken out of one club, and you get put into the better club.
So where's Sean Payton currently reside?
Well, he's building up something out there in Denver. He won a Super Bowl.
He did.
He gets the benefit of the doubt.
That's the thing, Shasky. 15-year-olds that don't remember that Super Bowl.
Shasky, when you have that Lombardi trophy, the entire conversation around you has changed.
Is Doug Peterson a low-level winner?
Well, he's also in Jacksonville. That place is just a dumpster fire.
Listen. You say 15-year-olds don't remember Sean Payton Super Bowl? I'm 42 years old. I'm starting to forget the last Super Bowl win for the 49ers.
Yeah, but at least we've been to a couple. Like, I know it's not the ultimate the one. Greatest, but like, come on.
The VHS tape gets grainier and grainier by the day.
We've ran into a buzzsaw. They got our number. It sucks. I hate saying it.
Oh my gosh. Oh man. This is all the
level. What do you say?
High level loser. It's actually a great quote. I'm going to start using that.
It is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
The way TC delivered that was
just so stupid.
That was a Picasso. Let's go to Mystic.
Is that what LeBron was before he finally won one?
That's exactly what everyone said he was.
Get out of here.
Mystic.
Yes.
Mystic.
How do you like that, Mr. Bonte?
Mystic.
Fantastic.
What's up, Mystic?
Man, this is...
Good morning, Mystic.
Man, guys, this is classic. This is hilarious. And I'm going to tell you that I didn't phrase it that way, but that is exactly what I was thinking, is that this guy is Marv Levy. He's Marv Levy. He's Dan Reeves. He's a guy that can get you there, but he won't get you over the hump. And now when you couple that with your quarterback, who also has clear physical limitations, that's going to be a problem for you. Now, I do expect that they'll give the Rams a run for their money because they can still run the ball. They run the ball against stacked boxes all the time, and the Rams can't stop the run. However, when you get into a spot where you're going to need to throw the ball or play against a stout defense, you're going to have some problems right now because, again, like your guy said, like Patrick Peterson said, Brock Purdy can't consistently throw the ball outside the numbers 15 yards down the field. And any defensive coordinator worth his salt at this point is going to make him do that to beat you. So to win. So I think the Niners are taking on water. They're taking on water fast, and their good luck with the injuries is running out, and the carriage is turning into a pumpkin.
Mystic, you're on a roll right now. I don't know if I agree with you. We're on a roll, and everything's funny to me right now. I'm getting a little goofy here, delusional. But Mystic, would you pay Brock Purdy? Because it sounds like you're not with the whole reset the quarterback market with Brock Purdy from what I'm hearing from you.
I thought it was get your money. I thought all the players, get your money.
Get your money. Absolutely. What makes you think I want Brock to get paid every single time? You guys are the ones who say, well, maybe Brock will take 40 and be a T-friendly deal. And I'm saying the hell with that, Brock.
I'm very consistent on that. I'm very consistent with that.
Go get your money, players. Mystic, what do you think about that?
You wouldn't pay him 60.
Well, here's the thing.
I'm not going to pay
Doug Flutie. I'm not going to pay Doug Flutie $60 million. I'm just not going to do it.
Now, he has more wins than Doug Flutie in the regular season. Like, come on.
But I understand, and I'm not comparing. It's not a total 100% comparison. They're in different eras. They play for different teams and different systems. However, the limitations of Doug Flutie meant that he could not be a long-term starter, because teams figured out very quickly where they could attack him and where they could make it difficult for him. And now you're seeing that with Brock Purdy. And when you don't have somebody, you can just dump the ball and they can take it 60 yards like a Deebo Samuel or a Christian McCaffrey. That's where those limitations really show up. And if you're going to pay $60 million, guess what? You're not going to have all those weapons moving forward. So I think this is a litmus, a referendum. Where the rubber meets the road.
Ooh, I love that. Mystic, man. He's on the roll there.
How do you like that, Mr. Bonte?
I like that a lot. Hey, listen, words matter here. I said I would be worried about paying him $60 million. I said worried. I didn't say I'm not paying him. Trust me, it's not my money. It's Jake Yerkes' money and the team's money. I don't care. I want all these players to get top dollar.
Pocket watching confuses me so much. The tapestry you're creating.
I want Brock Purdy to get whatever. If he feels like he's worth $60 million a year, then go get your money.
So the way that I have to phrase it from here on out, well, I mean, Trent making $31 million worries me. That's the way I have to phrase it to be able to be in the safe zone.
I wouldn't be worried about Trent Williams making $31 million because I know he's one of the best left tackles in all of football. The verdict is still out on Brock Purdy. So I do get a little worried about paying one position player and resetting the quarterback market with Brock Purdy. When I'm hearing these experts,
how many years do you need for Purdy
when this stretch of games coming up, Trent's a star left tackle. Come on, man.
Well, no, he's great. Also super old.
Let's play without Trent Williams
I'm just asking,
We saw Trent's value was loud and clear when they went 17-17-17 last year in a three-game stretch.
I think that Brock's value is pretty clear when we've seen Jimmy G, Nick Mullins, Trey Lance, even a week of Sam Darnold in the